As David said earlier, we are going through a time of the Lord's Prayer, a teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And today we get to the place where it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Now, you'll notice on the outline inside the bulletin that I just put, "will be done." I was going to put a blank in front of that. And then I thought, well, if I put "your will be done," that it will kind of talk about the little bit of a battle that we tend to have with that phrase. Because it's either my will being done or it's God's will being done. And that, my friends, is where the rub is. Amen? That's where the difficulty is. And yet, this is a prayer that Jesus, when asked by his disciples, he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said, okay, this is how you then should pray. Our Father, which means he's all of our fathers. There's an identity that all of us can have with one another, and that is the fact that we are all a part of the family. Yeah. Just playing off the ads that are going on TV right now, okay? Friends and family. We're all part of the family of God going on right now because we have a Father in heaven. May his name be kept holy. May it be kept holy by us. May it be kept holy by this world, amen? And may your kingdom come soon. Ah, what a prayer to pray, right? Especially when you know that there are people who will have not bent their knee and professed Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior yet. It's a hard part of the prayer to pray. May your kingdom come soon. And yet, for those of us who are believers, his kingdom couldn't come soon enough. Amen? Amen. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how is God's will done on earth as it is in heaven? How is it done in heaven? How is God's will done in heaven? Well, it's done completely. And it's done faithfully. It's done with all truth. It's done with all faith and believing in Jesus Christ. His will is done in heaven. There's not anybody that when God says or does something that somebody in the audience goes, wait a minute, I've kind of thought this one through and I've got another plan. What do you think, God? What do you think would happen? Blink. Gone. Oh, where's that trapdoor come from? Those clouds weren't as thick as you thought they were, right? May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Boy, if God's will would only be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? In complete obedience, in complete submission, in complete fullness, his will being done. This prayer, and this is your first fill-in, this prayer model portrays a heart of submission. This prayer model portrays a heart of submission. And here's some rather disturbing news out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. What does it say? "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." So this prayer, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It portrays a heart of submission that what God says is true and what his will is about is the perfect will for each and every one of us. Although sometimes God's will doesn't always bode well for the believer. Sometimes we may have some rough spots in our life. We may have some trials. We may have some testings. But those are only to make our faith in what God says stronger. Not to doubt Him, but rather to draw closer in with Him. But that's some very serious news there, isn't it? Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So, doesn't it then become very obvious to us that we need to know what God's will is so that we can actually do the will of the Father in heaven? Yeah? I mean, I want that kind of information, don't you? That way I can please the Father, and I won't be one of those that just cries out, hey, Lord, Lord, and I don't get to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of the Father will enter. So how's God's will revealed? Well, number one, it's through other believers. God's will is revealed through other believers. You know that we need each other. You know that you have different strengths and weaknesses, and I have different strengths and I have different weaknesses, and we need one another to balance each other out. And it's so worked out in a marriage relationship where a husband needs a wife. I need my wife to balance me out at times. Hey. Wow. Because there are times when I might seem a little imbalanced. Why are you guys laughing so much? Wow. Where's the love? I not only need my wife, but I need my brothers to help keep me in balance, to help me making it right in life, to help and assist me in making decisions, to know that I've got brothers who will pray for me. I've got brothers who will lift me up. I've got brothers who will love me so much that will come alongside of me when I might be appearing a little unbalanced and my wife's not around, that you will help to settle me back up into, well, but God, Don, what has God called you to be doing about that? What do you think God would be thinking about what you're doing here? You know, we need each other. And it's not just the men. Women, you need each other as well. You know, see, it's exactly the wolf's game. And the wolf here would be Satan. The wolf is after the sheep. We are the sheep. Amen? I'm the sheep of Jesus' pasture. Woohoo! Bah! You know? Gladly so. I want someone in charge of me. I don't want to be in charge of me. I've done that in the past. I've blown it. I've made really stupid decisions based on my own intelligence and my own desires. And instead, I want somebody to be in charge of me, and so I give that charge to, you know, it's like we sang earlier, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and let Him direct your paths. Oh, that is such a strong life verse for me. And it's one that I have to visit quite often, because that's allowing God's will to be worked out within me. We need each other. We need each other because these are the people right here that are in love with Jesus. These are the people right here. And I'm not saying that we're the exclusive. I'm just saying this is the band of brothers and sisters that you belong to. And no, we don't belong because of membership, because we don't have membership here. we belong because we profess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. We belong because God has wooed our hearts and we have said yes to God. And so we need each other. We are a family. We should be friends and we should be family, all the above. We should be willing to spend time with one another, to make time for each other. And I know, life is really, really busy. But we need each other. We learn God's will through other believers. You know, there's a passage that Paul talks about that we all belong to a part of the body. I was driving down the road the other day, and all of a sudden, I mean, my bike is sounding so good. It's just humming along. But I see this red light. And my brain tells me, okay, Don, you've got to take off the accelerator. You got to pull in the clutch. You got to step on the brakes. You got to start slowing down. Now, if for some reason my eyes said, you know what, the nose offended me, I don't want to listen. And I'm not going to register that that's a red light. Maybe my foot would say, you know, I'm tired of being bossed around. And my hand said, you know, I'm tired of squeezing the clutch and the brake anymore. You know, let's just ride with it. What would happen? I'd be splashed on the pavement. And one of the things that I have discovered through the many years of being on the fire department is that motorcycles and metal do not match very well. The motorcyclists usually lose. But what if the body all works together? When the eye says, hey, that's a red light, and the hands and the feet go into action, they go, yeah, we're going to support you in slowing this thing down. That's the way the body should work. Is in unity with one another. How can we work in unity, though, if we're not connected to one another? A friend of mine just had his knee replaced. I mean, the knee replaced. Brand new knee. And so he's in the recovery stage of that right now. And he says, you know, he goes through therapy and everything works okay. It's just been three, four weeks since his surgery. And he says he goes through the therapy and everything works okay, fine. And then he goes home and he sits down. And after a while, you know, he gets up and he goes to move and the knee won't move. And he physically has to go, knee, move. And sometimes even give it an assist with his hand. Even though it's a part of his body and it's connected to his body, it's not responding to the messages of the body. And sometimes that's the way we are. We're a part of the body. We come here, but we're not really connected in with one another. And so we're not really allowing ourselves to hear from one another. Is that hitting home to anybody? How do we know God's will? Well, God's will is revealed through other believers. Secondly, let's read the passage that helps support that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. We will do what? We'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So what's your job in being a part of this church body? Well, it's helping others to grow, to become healthy, to be full of love. That's what we're to be about. That's God's will for the church body. May we reflect God's will. Secondly, God's will is revealed through God's word. Through God's word. You know, God speaks to us. He speaks to us in many ways. First way is through other believers. And that's not necessarily first as priority. It's just one of the ways. Secondly, here is through God's word. Have any of you been reading in God's word, and all of a sudden there'll be a portion of God's word that you'll just go, wow, that is for me. I have to own that verse. That verse is speaking right into what I'm going through at this very time. Maybe it's something that I'm struggling with. Maybe it's something that I have experienced as a victory. And I can relate to what the Word of God is telling me and revealing to me. And isn't it a wonderful thing when a document that was written so many years ago can still be pertinent to us today? It is the living Word of God. And so we can know about God's will through His Word. John 17:17. This comes from Jesus' own prayer. He said what? Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. See, we're bombarded by a lot of lies in our world, aren't we? So where do we get truth from? We get truth from God. Because only God's word is truth. Amen? A third way that God's will is revealed, and that is through a close walk with God. Through a close walk with God. Suzanne and I have enjoyed the luxury of being married for 39 years and looking forward to December when we celebrate our big 40. Whee! She's a tough woman. I haven't been able to break her all the way yet. I have broken her. But I haven't broken her all the way yet. Praise God. Not that that's what I'm out shooting for. No. I'm out to try to make her life better, which is what we do for each other. But that's what we do in relationships with other people. We try to make their lives better by being a part of them. You know, do people get excited when you enter a room, or do people get excited when you leave? Just asking. Because it's the type of influence that you are upon them. If people are excited when they see you, it's because they know that you're going to speak something well about them. And they're excited to have you in their life. They want to have you there. But even though Suzanne and I have celebrated almost 40 years together, we couldn't do that without a close, intimate walk. You know, when we start having trouble, and I know it's probably the same thing with a few of you, and in fact, it's the one thing that I'm praying for David and Donna, as they have to venture with David now having to live down in the valley, that whenever I'm separated from Suzanne, and we're separated for a few days, when we first get back together, it's like the clash of the titans. Because she's got stuff that she wants to talk to me about, and I got stuff I want to be talking to her about, and or there's some stuff I don't want to be talking about. And we get into it, and why do we get into it? It's because we haven't been sitting down and associating with each other, and so we get into this clash, whereas if we spend time with each other, then we understand what each other's going through. We understand the struggles that we're having. We also understand and can celebrate the victories that we're having. So it is with God. If you're having a lot of clashes with God, maybe it's because you're not really spending that intimate time walking with Him. And I would encourage you that if you want to have less clashing time with God and more interweaving with God, spend more time with God. And let Him speak into your life. Let Him speak His truth. So, the scripture that goes along with a close walk is John 17, 20 to 21. Again, this is Jesus' prayer. And what did He say? He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in Me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as You and I are one, as You are in Me, Father, and I am in You. May they be in us so that the world will believe You sent Me. You know, when we start feeling like people don't like us is when we don't spend time with them. And we sometimes alienate ourselves and we think that everybody's got to reach out to us rather than us reaching out to them. You know, if you're really hurting, there's a well-known fact in psychology that when you're really hurting, reach out to someone else and to try to minister to their needs. And when you minister to someone else's needs, your needs will get met. It's just a crazy way that it works, but it's God's economy. When you're hurting, when you're feeling alone, when you are feeling like you're not accepted, then reach out and talk to someone. Get together, have coffee with them, have lunch, have dinner. Go take a walk with each other. Go have some type of activity together with your fellow believers and get strengthened in the truth of God's Word. And you will not only grow stronger in your relationships, but all of a sudden your needs will be met. Can I hear an amen? So how God's will is revealed, lastly, is through fiery trials. Through fiery trials. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 say, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. It is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. It is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Jesus knew the will of God. And yet He still went to that garden of Gethsemane. And He wrestled with God, His Father. And He even begged, Father, if You can take this cup away from Me. In other words, He didn't want to drink of all the punishment. He didn't want to taste all of our sins that were heaped upon Him. If You could take this away from me, Father, I just don't feel like I'm up to it. And the Father said, no, by yourself you're not up to it. But through My strength, through the Holy Spirit's empowerment, you will make it through even this trial. Paul knew that he had to go to Rome, and he also knew, in fact, he desired to go to Rome, but he also knew that if he did, he would have all sorts of persecution that he would suffer. In fact, Paul suffered a lot. If you read his epistles, and he talks about that he was being stoned, and no, he doesn't live in Colorado. It was those rocks, those hard things that were being thrown at him. And in fact, they stoned him and then drug him outside the city thinking that he was going to die. And Paul didn't die. Paul was thrown into prison. He wasn't guilty of anything. He was just thrown into prison, though, because men said, well, he was just stirring people up, yeah, with the truth of God. And even in prison, he gave thanks and gave praise to his Father. He suffered. And what happened through his praise? The place that they were in was shaken. I think they might have been located in L.A. Don't know for sure. But the place where they were was shaken, and the prison doors went open, and the chains went off. And the prison guard came running down, hoping that nobody had vanished. And they assured him that, no, all of us have stayed put. Because he knew that if they got loose on his watch, that it would be his life. And Paul assured him that all the prisoners were still there, praising God for what was going on. See, we praise God in our sufferings. We praise God in our trials. Honestly, who likes to hear a sniveling brat? Does anybody? Does anybody really like to hear some sniveling puke who is just all inward and, hey, my life is just so tough and so, oh man, it's just so hard. No. People are attracted to people that are positive in what's going on in their experience with God. Oh, I'm hurting. I am hurting for sure. But guess what? To God be the glory. To God be the glory for what's going on in my life. I don't understand everything that's going on. But God's got a plan for my life, even though I don't like it. Even though it upsets me greatly. At that time, that as we work through it and as we allow God's timing to work, then we see afterwards, well, that was for my better part. That was for my good. That wasn't because God disliked me. It was because God really entrusted me in my faith that I would not shrink away even through the trials. So, God's will is revealed through fiery trials, through a close walk, through God's word, through other believers. But honestly, this prayer models a heart of submission. And that's what God really and truly is looking for from each and every one of us. Why else would Jesus teach this prayer to his followers? Why else? It's just a wonderful model. That doesn't mean that we just memorize it and throw it out there by rote, but rather that we look at each and every part of it and go, okay, am I doing these things? Do I recognize my Father as being in heaven? Do I keep his name holy by the way that I act and by the things I say, by the people that I hang around with? Do I allow his will to be done? Love and Heavenly Father, may it be so within us. And that if it's not, that right now, Lord God, we just allow your Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and our minds, that we might be molded into what your will is for us. Rather than thinking that, well, I've got life all figured out and I want to do things my way. This is not the time for Frank Sinatra's to stand up and say, I did it my way. It's time for the humility of God's servants to stand up and say, no, I did it his way. May we submit ourselves to your will, Lord. And may we draw strength from knowing that we are following your truth and your design for our life. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said,